sleeping.
Yeah,
when,
podcasts.
When the other two are sleeping, you really have your freedom to listen to your dirty pleasures. Guilty pleasures, I should say.
That's a little bit too.
There's a lot that I owe you to this. Streams of videos sometimes too.
We would play metal all night, and you know, can't listen to metal all day.
Yeah, it's true.
Exactly. Right.
You have to get some variety.
Yeah, I got to turn the volume down a little bit sometimes. Chill out.
So you guys are doing this. You're doing like a mini tour. But then, what's after that? Do you guys have anything big planned for like spring, summer afterwards?
For sure. We're playing Monolith on the Mesa, which is a new festival in Taos, and that's the 17th and 18th of May. Just before that, actually, we're opening up for Monolord in Denver. And then heading into the summer, we're playing Sean's Electric Funeral Fest in Denver. And then we'll be rolling out kind of a bigger summer tour in support of this album, but we're just not quite there to announce it yet.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Alexandre Denis. Concordia students protested the university's inaction on sexual violence Friday morning. The protesters demanded the university work faster to address policies on sexual violence. Student pressure comes after numerous complaints of inappropriate behavior from professors, most notably in the English and creative writing departments. Demands also include increased transparency when it comes to investigation of sexual assault. Current privacy laws forbid the university from informing students about the result of internal investigations, meaning victims cannot know the outcome of their complaints. The school acknowledges the protesters' demands, but says it has a process to follow when it comes to updating policies. In other university news, McGill has finally agreed to drop the Redmen name from its sports teams. The change comes after a campaign from students and Indigenous groups to get the name removed. In a November referendum, 80% of McGill students voted in favor of a name change. While supporters argue the name was not racist in origin, University President Suzanne Fortier acknowledged that the name was hurtful to Indigenous students. McGill's sports team will be nameless during the next academic year, while a committee works to choose a new name. The famous black hole that was pictured for the first time on Wednesday now has a name. It is called Povei and was named by Hawaiian language professor Larry Kimura. It means the adorned, fathomless dark creation or embellished dark source of unending creation. The name comes from an 18th century Hawaiian creation chant. The black hole was given a Hawaiian name because two of the telescopes involved in the imaging were in Hawaii. The name has not yet officially been approved by the International Astronomical Union, but they have previously accepted a name suggested by Professor Kimura. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO 1690 AM. Thank you, the news. For once, one story was not terribly depressing. Amazing! This is great strides in human evolution that we've done so far. So, what you heard before the break was the last part of an interview I did with the Munsons down at South by Southwest. They're from Colorado, and they do loud, angry stuff. And their last record, Unhanded, is quite good. So you should probably listen to it. Before that was an interview with Drainage from South Beach, California. And now, I'm joined by some fine gentlemen. I will let them intro themselves because I've gotten in trouble before for introing bands who have pseudonyms. They've gotten very upset and been like, "No, you can't say our real names because we don't like that." So, gentlemen, tell the people who you is and what you do in your band, West of Hell.
All right. Hey, how's it going? I'm Chris the Heathen Valigo. I sing for West of Hell.
Hi, I'm Jordan. I slap at a bass for West of Hell.
I'm Sean. I play lead and rhythm guitars in West of Hell.
I'm Paul Drummond, and I play drums.
I'm Chris Schultz, and I play guitar for West of Hell.
Yeah, I know he's named no after synonyms. Drums.
All right, okay. No,
I'm Jordan the Meat Cheese Topper.
No synonyms?
Gotta get my name right on the radio.
Well, thank you guys for coming in and you know, taking time from your tour to go to a small station and chat with someone like me. I mean,
no problem, man.
I think I'm amazing, but a lot of people don't even know who I am, apparently, or they act like they don't. It's weird.
But you look like a metal guy.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So let's start off. Most bands that come to me, I imagine they've already done some interviews at some point in time. So let me pose, what's one question that you don't want to be asked or you're tired of answering? If I have it on this extensive list, I'll strike it. You won't have to answer it.
Oh, what's the worst one? How did you form the band?
Yeah.
That's probably the worst one.
That's the standard one. Yeah. How did the band form?
Okay.
None of your business.
All right.
It's online. You can find the basic details on our website, westofhell.ca. Still a little reading. You get the idea.
Yeah, if you're interested, you can answer that question yourself.
Okay. I will ask, though, are you one of these bands that, because there's many of these stock questions that bands tell me they don't want to answer, are you a band that has now gone on to start answering those questions with different answers each time to try and make it a little bit, like, more confusing if someone asks it to you?
I'd say Hail Satan.
Yeah. People seem to get confused enough themselves just trying to, you know, write blurbs on our band. We had a recent write-up where the guy had all kinds of nonsense going on, like Paul's from New Zealand, and another, there was a completely other guy in the band as well at some point that replaced Chris. So yeah, it was really people up to
their own imagination.
Yeah, past fill-in guitar players in that we've had, you know, the write-up is commenting on their songwriting influence over the band's current album and stuff like that. We're going, where did you dream this stuff up?
Well, this is good because I can get it right from the source, so I can't even get to make those mistakes, but you guys could. So let's keep it accurate as far as we can go here. Well, let's talk about what you guys have been up to recently. I read from a website, westofhell.ca.com. I had it right the first time. I never know anymore now that bands have started like really jumping onto the CA wagon to see if it's com or CA. But fine, okay, CA. It's good. Keeping me honest. I like it. I read that you guys just got back from a tour from Mexico.
That's correct, yeah.
How did that go?
It was really amazing. The Mexican people are amazingly enthusiastic and appreciative that you come and bring the music to them, right? They'd give you the t-shirt off their back. They wanted autographs. They wanted pictures. They were buying us tequila. It was actually a really, really good time.
Now, I always like to check to see like what kind of the status is of how touring in different places is for bands in North America, because obviously every band that's from here is like, oh, we are used to tours being like a disaster where we don't get paid much and we don't get taken care of very well. How is Mexico on this scale? Are they more like, as I hear, European festivals are, or festivals, not even festivals, regular places in Europe are?
Mexico's tough to do.
Okay.
They're a little impoverished and they don't necessarily have the resources. It was hard to get a good backline rented down there. It was hard to get, we couldn't get a trailer. You know, we had to rent vans. We had to get a driver because if driving in Mexico is an adventure beyond your wildest dreams. Because we played the heartland around Mexico City.
Oh, all right.
We did not go to the tourist areas. These were, you know, we were playing for the Mexican folks, not tourists. And driving there is insane. I've never seen anything like it. It is rush hour from 9 in the morning till midnight every single day. And the logistics of even making it to your gig, that's challenging in Mexico.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
But it was all part of the fun. I mean, we had a driver, so we didn't have to worry about trying to drive in it.
Ooh,
we had
all right.
An experienced guy. It was fun. The people were very hospitable.
Is that kind of the recommended thing? You get a driver to drive around from Mexico?
Yes. The police are not friendly, so if you're driving yourself, you're going to get fleeced for sure.
Everyone, this is helpful tips for when you go
Fear
to Mexico.
The Mexican police.
Fair enough. Well, but
The whole thing was a lot of fun. It was a totally different experience, and you know, we partied the whole time, so it was a good time. It was worth it for that, for sure.
Are you making plans to head back sometime in the not obviously like tomorrow or anything, but is there plans in the work to head back at some point in like the next couple years or so?
Well, yeah, we've connected up with some Mexican bands. Like, there's a lot of really cool bands in Mexico. We had the opportunity to share the stage with quite a few of them, and there's
Piranha. They're a rad thrash band.
There's a lot of thrash in Mexico. That seems to be like the largest kind of thing that's filtered down and people enjoy. At least that's what I've come across when there's like a band from anywhere in Mexico sending me things. It's a lot of thrash.
I'd say it's the most popular genre down there.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, we'd love to get back there, but not exactly sure when yet. We want to get other places in the world too. We really want to get over to Europe, and that's what we're setting our sights on.
All right.
So I think we'd all love to do Mexico again, just not sure when at this point.
All right. Well, let's talk about the tour you're on right now. You're on tour with X-Pain. You're going to be playing at Piranha in like 3 hours? No, yeah. Maybe 4 hours.
Yeah.
And nine, which is...
3 hours.
So do you have anything... how's the tour gone so far, I guess?
Really well. Those guys are so solid, like as people. We're all in the same bus, so it's close quarters, and we have to get along. And they're really, really like brothers now. I mean... And they're a great band. Like, they are ultra high energy thrash metal. It is insane to have X-Pain, yeah, to have them open up for us. It's really, really cool, you know?
The headline last night.
In Guelph, it was sort of their territory, so we let them headline. And yeah, it was a great night last night.
So are you guys headlining tonight, or are they going to? What do you think?
I think it's our slot.
All right,
for sure,
okay,
yeah.
All right.
Since we've played Piranha before.
Okay. So do you have any guys have anything special planned for playing here in Montreal, or is it going to be like, we're just gonna thrash metal out, and everyone can be just metaled out after tonight?
We put on some stage antics. I've got an angle grinder, and I do some metal work on stage while we're doing our thing.
All right.
I mean, basically, we're just bringing a very sort of traditional heavy metal that... how did you put it, Chris? It's an evolution of a traditional form.
Yeah, a modern take on a classic form.
All right. Well, let's talk about this, because you guys have a new record that came out very recently. Well, I mean, very recently is dependent on, I guess, what you consider to be very recent. April 1st, right?
April 1st, yep. Yeah.
Not an April Fool's joke.
Nope.
Real record came out. It is Blood of the Infidel. Would you guys say that this is kind of a natural progression in your discography? Like, if people have been listening to you go through, would you say like, oh yes, this is what I would expect the next West of Hell thing to go?
Maybe people wouldn't necessarily have expected it, but we certainly did. It was definitely, you know, we want to expand on what we're playing. You know, the first record's a lot more straightforward, and it's the first record songs that we wrote a really long time ago. It's been quite a while, so it's, you know, all of our songwriting abilities have adapted, and we've it's more interesting for us to progress and come up with new ideas and new ways of doing things to, you know, to keep ourselves interested. So it was definitely a step in the direction that we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And with new members in the band influencing the sound too. Our boy Chris Schultz over here.
Shout out.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, and, you know, say hi, Chris.
Hey, everybody.
Chris is a phenomenal songwriter. He's got his influences.
Yeah.
We embraced what the way Schultz likes to do it, and that's a big part of the sound on the new record.
Was it easy for the record to come together? Like, did you guys have problems with the writing, or...
Chris, do you want to get this one?
Okay. The writing was not a problem. It took a long time to get it out for various other reasons.
We had
it in the can for quite a while. We're just really happy to get it out finally. We're really proud of it. We write well together, and it was a real pleasure to jump into the band and pick up on what the first album had achieved and try to add my two bits to it. So these guys are great. We're really stoked to write the third one. We're already halfway through, so we want to move here.
All right. Yeah. Is the next one that you're writing, that's also, you're doing full length, I imagine? since that seems to be how metal seems to be doing more full lengths than like EPs and things like that?
We're not sure. That's sort of up in the air.
Interesting.
We might release some short sort of teaser pieces.
All right.
In sequence, but we haven't quite decided yet.
After it was too long a gap between records from the first one to the second one that's just come out now. And we learned a lot in that long gap. We don't ever want to have another long gap like that again. And these days we're looking at, you know, I think it would be really great to just have a higher frequency of music coming out. So, you know, we might do just release one song, maybe then another, then a little while later, they will come out on a record, right? But just, you know,
so like
more and more out there.
So more like a singles and then leading up to a record type of thing.
Yeah, or maybe, then maybe an EP, maybe a full length, but just, you know, we'll just keep it coming kind of thing.
We had a delay sort of in that last record because the original core members were from New Zealand and we lost two guys. We lost our drummer and our guitar player. And when we recorded that record, we were finding people to fill those slots. And Ash Pearson from Revocation and 3 Inches of Blood tracked the drums for us. So that sort of put his interpretation on the drums. And now, with Paul Drummond in the band and Chris Schultz in the band, we have a consolidated lineup, and songwriting and recording is going to go a lot faster.
Well, that is good to hear because this record is real good. I'm real happy with it.
Thanks,
man.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, you never know, right? Like sometimes bands will like take a while to put out another record after their last one, and it's either really good because they've had a lot of time to polish it, or it's like, oh, we didn't have any ideas, and we decided we'd put out an album. And then it's like, oh, this is very disappointing. Why did you guys do this? Metallica, what are you doing?
God. Wait all that long to put on a garbage album. There you go.
I will be saying this exact same thing when Tool's album comes out in this year, I'm sure. What are you doing, Tool? Just stop. Sadness. Anyway, I'm sorry. I've gotten off topic.
Tangents.
That's what we do here on Great Explosives, just random tangents. So, what is the kind of like, I always like to get a nice check to see what kind of the hometown scene is like for bands that come in. So what's kind of the hometown scene for you guys? Is there a lot of bands kind of pushing up? What type of bands are they? Like
There is a really cool scene in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Deadly scene.
It's deadly, and there's a lot of great bands coming up, you know? Even as we lose music venues, it seems like, you know, there is just a fresh crop of hungry, hungry guys with great ideas. But Vancouver is weird. It's almost like a little Bay Area thing that happened with thrash metal. We have an East Vancouver sound.
Oh, really?
All these bands have a thin red line that sort of links us all together.
Is that a line that's then? Is that an easy thing to kind of get into? Is there kind of like then some sort of like cliques that are around, or is it like more of kind of an open thing?
Well, we sort of have solidarity between all the bands. You know, when one band is playing, the rest of us will go show up, and vice versa. When we play, they're going to come support us, and we influence each other. We tend to rub off on each other.
All right. Well, that is very good. I like the sound of that because there's. I mean, obviously there's some genres that don't lend itself very well to being a very big community. Black metal. black metal kids. You're so fun, but you're also not very fun at all. What have I done? I've done said terrible things. Oh, well.
Hellhounds on your heels. It's already been said.
Well, I have to play some of these commercially things, so let's take a short break, and I figured I would play something from the new record. What do you guys recommend for me to play that will give people an idea?
Probably The Machine, because the video just came out a few days ago.
Cool. Well, yes, that's good then. So, all right, let's play some ads, and then The Machine, and then we'll be back. We'll chat a bit more, and then let you guys go and get ready for the rocking. As they say. As a 60-year-old man would say, the rocking will be happening later. So everyone, Stay tuned for some West of Hell after these commercials, and then we'll chat more with them. Keep it locked, won't you? Great Explosives, CJLO 1690 AM.
The time has come to recognize the best of Montreal. Support community radio and local music by voting for CJLO and our DJs for best radio station, radio show, and radio host in Cult Montreal's annual Best Of poll. Let's get CJLO to number one. Vote online at cultmontreal.com.
was supposed to be an Atomic Bomb simulation, but it didn't.
1690 AM. We're talking about West of Hell shows, which we'll probably not share more about. to be safe, you know, it'll be safe.
That's probably a good idea.
Come out and see, man. We put on a show.
There's only one way for you to find out what it could be like, and that's to go to Piranha tonight. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, we definitely come from a school of that British invasion arena metal, like Maiden or Priest. And I mean, we try and put on a show, right? And think that's important, that a show should be just that, right?
Are you guys of the mind that a show is actually more important than a recorded record? Because it's a tough call for me, because I know that how the music industry has changed is now, like, records don't make any money at all. In fact, they are probably like a large just money sink, but it then motivates people to go to shows. But you need a record to be good in order for people to want to go to shows.
I think it's a double-edged sword. I don't know, what do people want, right? Mm. I mean, if you want to come out and have a good time and be entertained and have a few drinks, you know, and be genuinely entertained, then a show, I think a show is extremely important.
Mm.
But more important or not than the record, that's a hard call. You know, if you don't give a shit about performance, well, stay home and listen to the record. But that has to be executed perfectly and represent what we're about.
Hmm.
So I think they're both equally important.
All right. Let's talk about, since we've kind of delved into this a bit, let's talk about the music industry as it is kind of now. Even from like, oh, wow, that is a face right there. Particularly, I'm always interested to hear how bands kind of view the switch over that's happened to digital. Now, you guys probably, like, it's not like you guys are like a 30-year-old band to be able to go like, oh, we know exactly what it was like before all this happened. Oh, really?
I've been doing this since I was 18 years old.
Okay,
I have another band called Zimmer's Holt, and on a couple of our records, we were using tape, the 2-inch tape, right, in the studios and in the Armory in Vancouver. And then, of course, it all switched over to digital.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a definitive sound loss or something between the two formats? I mean, technically, yes. There is a warmth and an overdrive that you only get with an analog recording. But the quality of digital recording right now is exceptional. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the average non-studio engineer person is really going to tell the difference. However, a pure wave file is as close as you can get to an audio tape. And today, people listen to MP3s,
yeah,
and they're garbage. It's very compressed. It's very thin. You're missing the warmth. There was a study done in, I think, Oxford or Harvard, where they sat down with a test group and they let them listen to MP3s, and they let them listen to analog recordings of the same song while they were hooked up to brain equipment and CAT scan and all sorts of stuff, just to see what the brain does. With the analog recording, the actual uncompressed files, the pleasure center of your brain reacts.
Oh, interesting.
And you get a little bit of endorphin out of it. From an MP3, flatline, nothing.
Huh.
So there is...
That's interesting.
Now, you go back to your earlier question about live performance. You want to hear the shit for real.
Yep.
Come see us live. Yep. If you want, you know, if you can only fit little MP3s in your phone, well, you're missing half the music.
Are you a band that when you play songs live, you do them differently than on record? Because I know that some strategies for some bands are, well, we make our songs not drastically different, but different enough so that if you go see it live, you obviously recognize it, but you get a different experience out of it.
Well, totally, but because it's just, like, for instance, with vocals, I might do pile up four vocal tracks with harmonies of myself, and that's impossible to do live.
Well, with that attitude, it certainly is.
Unless
not without a laptop.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't roll backing tracks, right?
What?
One of the band members on stage is not a laptop in our band.
No, but we obviously adjust,
right?
You know, and the guys will do those parts that I laid down in the studio, and maybe the vocal arrangement has to change a little bit.
Hmm.
But yeah, again, live is always going to be different from the record, unless you're running backing tracks.
Hmm. Well, let me jump back a bit here, because I got sidetracked again. Tangents, obviously. Yeah. But let's talk a bit more about digital things versus, well, just in general, I've been trying to kind of ascertain what bands think about how digital has affected music and as far as its distribution and things like that. What do you guys think about how the switch over to digital has done for music in general? Has it made it better? Like, on one hand, it's like you've democratized music, so any band can send something anywhere in the world. But at the same time, you are now super saturating the market with all of these bands.
It's definitely reset everything. It's like a big bomb was dropped on the industry, and we're all the cockroaches crawling out of it. New bands like us are scrambling to find traction. We're putting a lot of effort into our songwriting and our touring. And I think on one hand, you find like a lot less bands are touring because it's costly now. And because people aren't buying albums, they don't have as much funding.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, you really have to believe in what you're doing to get out on the road and take a tour like this across a country the size of Canada.
Yeah.
I think, you know, now it's never been easier to record an album, get it out and saturate the market. And it's never been harder to get out and tour it. So what I hope is that people that are, or we hope is that people that support music and want to see it, you know, survive as a live format will take the time to come out to the show. And that they're going to get a really good quality band that's out on the road because they're putting everything they got into it. Hmm. Whereas it used to be easier to just get in the van and tour no matter what, right? But yeah, saturation is a problem. So you have to really, you know, put out good quality.
Hmm.
I think that's what we've been trying to do with our videos. That's why we've dropped 4 videos in the last, 3 months? And they're all, we put a lot of effort into those as well so that, you know, hopefully people are seeing those on their social media and they're going, wow, this is, okay, these guys are trying. And that gives you a little hope that they're going to come out to the show because we are a live band.
Hmm. All right.
We're using that as our door kicker.
You know, all right.
Bust it down.
Fair enough. And those videos, of course, if anyone wants to check them out, you can go onto West of Hell Official YouTube and check them out. There's been 3 videos, right, for the over the past couple months that have happened.
Three videos this year and this lead up to the album release.
Yeah, yeah.
And also we put last summer the first video for Hammer in Hand.
Ah, okay.
Came out also from this record, The Blood of the Infidel. So 4 videos in total from Blood of the Infidel so far.
Do you guys think that videos have become more, I struggle to say more important than just a straight single, because, you know, you can do a lot with a single without having to put forth the editing and filming of a video, but people have kind of gotten conditioned now that they want to see something released on YouTube. How do you guys view your videos? Are they more important than just a single release? Or
earlier, you made a joke about the long wait for a crappy Metallica record to come out.
Yes, I did.
They made
a
music video for every single song on that record.
That's true.
The videos, is really, really important. Because, I mean, I don't know how many people I listen to music at work through YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, we've got the technology now to have those various formats playing on your big screen and through your stereo all day long in the house. And, you know, if you can find the budget to put together something decent to go along with your single, it will take that song, especially in a genre like heavy metal, where we don't get a lot of support from traditional format radio.
Hmm.
You know, the satellite channels will support us, and the internet radio, and the independents like yourself. So the video is a very important avenue.
Hmm. All right. Well, this has gotten kind of technical and very, very businessy. Let's jump format a bit here. Let's ask some more fun questions. What's the worst musical instrument?
the accordion.
Accordion.
Was that question the least likely instrument to ever make an appearance on a West of Hell record? What's that one going to be?
My dad bought me an accordion when I was 8 years old because I'm half Portuguese and that's sort of a traditional Portuguese instrument. And I just thought it was the stupidest thing ever. And I promptly smashed it on the pavement of like $400 accordion and I got shit kicked for that.
that would be... I can imagine that would be a horrendous punishment came your way from such a thing.
Sorry, Weird Al. I'm sorry.
I played saxophone in elementary school, and Ugh, that was a...
No, sorry, Paul. Sax is cool.
That saxophone, it's pretty cool.
Well, I was really bad at it, so I guess that was the whole that was the whole part of it.
What about you other two, three gentlemen here? What do you got?
I'd have to say the recorder is probably the worst.
That is probably the most popular answer of all of them that I've gotten. Children's recorder has been the most popular answer. I think there's a lot of spite for people having to have had learn it.
Or had listened to anybody play one.
That's true.
Actually, I changed my decision. I think bass is the worst.
Oh, oh, you're so dead, buddy. Well, I don't know. I think there's a creative way to make almost any instrument cool.
So we found the diplomat in the band right here. The peacekeeper has been shown.
I just can't think of...
I don't think that it's a bad instrument, but I fear the movement of the ukulele.
Oh, really?
It's really taking over. I fear where this is going to take genres like metal. There will be a Norwegian ukulele death metal band coming, and it will rule.
Isn't Eluvetti that already? Don't they have those weird nonsense in there?
It would be funny, big metal dudes playing ukuleles.
You heard it here first. That was our idea.
We made this happen. Yeah. I guess the I have one more question for you before I let you go and do your things here. Right now, today is the last day. We have a weekly kind of monthly now publication for like underground like arts and music and things. It's called Cult Montreal. They're doing their Best of Montreal kind of today's the last day you can vote for things in this. So let me just ask you guys, Best of Montreal, you guys played Piranha before, right?
Yeah.
Would you say that's the best venue here in the city?
We haven't seen all of them, though.
I love it.
Okay. It's a really cool place. Yeah. But I've also, with Mother Band, played the Fufun Electrique.
Oh, Fufs, yeah.
And
it's classic.
That's a beautiful venue, man. Multi-levels, skateboard ramp in the basement. You can't really complain about that place, right? But getting to play there and booking the place is a whole different problem.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hold on. I won't do that one on air because that might get me in trouble. One more. What's the best poutine in Montreal? Have you guys had enough
please
to judge?
Tell us where, and we'll go there tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we need to know where.
Okay. You should definitely go to Bonkeys. Dear Bonkeys.
Bonkeys.
Yeah, La Bonkeys. If you guys are listening, you can sponsor the show. You can pay me in poutine. I will definitely eat it. It's fine. But yes, that's probably where you guys should go.
Is that 24-hour place?
Yeah.
I've been there.
Oh.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is it close to the venue?
I don't know where anything is.
Not particularly, but you have a car, and it will be late, so
you
that might work.
You just said you went there. I don't know where it is.
I find it when I'm drunk.
See, what Montreal really needs is a heavy metal poutinerie.
You are coming up with a great idea.
Heavy metal poutinerie.
Right now.
Oh, yeah.
With slash ukulele craft metal brew.
Well, craft brew, but there's 8,000 places that could do a tie-in for that. Montreal and its beer are getting a bit crazy for what they're doing, but I like this idea. Let's get investors on this. Anyone who's listening that wants to invest in a heavy metal poutine eatery here in the city, you know who you are. You know, call into the studio. We'll get this going.
We'll give them a fair percentage.
Yeah, you know, it sounds good. Yeah. They invest all of their money, and then we will give them some, like maybe 10%, 20%. We'll work it out with them. So you guys are going to finish this tour with X-Pain, and then after that, what do you guys have planned for the rest of the year? What does the rest of the year look like for you guys?
Yeah.
We all want to talk. We're going to focus heavily on this third album.
Okay.
We've got a good handful of songs in the works, and like I said, we want to get this done quick and move on to album number 4, etc. Yes, we play one of the songs live. If you come, you will hear it. Yeah, so we have an unrecorded song that we're doing live that we're test firing on the audience for that third record. And yeah, come on down and check that out and let us know what you think. And we're going to play a few small local gigs in BC.
Hyperspace.
Well,
huge.
Massive.
Huge.
The Hyperspace Metal Festival.
All right. Well, this sounds good. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have for this next record coming up. I'm excited. You've made me excited. So, because if everyone, you can go check out West of Hell. West of Hell on Facebook. You just type that in. Go there. West of Hell Official on YouTube. Go see their videos. Go see them tonight at Piranha, where they're playing with X-Pain, and then tomorrow in Quebec City if you're out there. Go do that.
Oh, yeah. All you guys that are sitting there at home, you just burned a big fat joint. You're on the couch. You're like, oh, I don't know if I want to go down to Piranha. Check out our stuff online, West to Hell. Check out the videos. Check Long out the country, music. Buddy. And make up your own mind, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take a look at what you're going to miss.
And let's cap this.
Don't do their accent that you have.
That's my Portuguese accent, you cocksucker.
That's for the Portuguese contingent here.
So let's cap this off with another track off of the record. What should I play off of here? What would be your choice for people to hear?
Infidels. All right. Track.
All right.
Like it's hot
on the Infidels tour.
So everyone, keep it locked. Sledgehammer is going to be calling in next. I'm going to chat with them. Thank you guys again for stopping by and
Thanks
chatting
for
with
having
you.
Us, Andrew.
Thanks, man. Merci. You're the man, Andrew.
Well, I do what I can, you know. Do what I can. So keep it locked, everyone. Go see West of Hell tonight at Piranha with X-Pain. It'll be good.
We'll let you sign our titties.
Here's Infidels of Blood of the Infidel.
We're doing that so much.
CJLO, 1690 AM.
Descending. Productions Mudefric presents the 13th edition of the Cité d'Or de la Musique du Monde. The one and only Cité d'Or Musical Honors invites you to discover 36 of the best world music groups throughout this unique showcase. Come and vote for your favorite artists and enjoy free concerts every Tuesday and Wednesdays at Club Balatu until April 18th. The Cité d'Or, the People's Choice Award that brings the world together. For more information, visit www.citydor.com.
CJLO, 1690 AM. You just heard an interview with West of Hell and a track off of their latest record. That was Infidels. Big thanks to those guys for coming in and chatting with me, but you know, the chatting isn't done yet because I have one more guest here on the phone. I will let him intro himself because I've said this now three times during the course of the show, I've gotten in trouble for introing people by their real names when they have pseudonyms. But I will tell you that he's in the band Sledgehammer, who are going to be playing here at Piranha Bar on April 19th, a mere 5 days from today. So, good sir, tell the people who you is and what you do's in Sledgehammer.
I am Jeff Wilson, and I play guitar in a Sledgehammer.
So, Jeff, let me start this off. I figure that by the time bands get to me, they've already done a bunch of interviews. So what's one question that you don't want to be asked or you're tired of answering? If I have it on this extensive list, I will strike it. You will not have to answer it.
Anything about the album art or what the album means or the meaning. That's something for the singer or the bassist for me.
All right.
I don't know anything about that.
Fair enough. Well, let's talk about the new record. Antechamber is the name of it. What was it like to write it? That doesn't require much meaning to it.
No, but it was great to write it. I had one of the best times of my life right here in my kitchen. And I'm in my kitchen right now where I wrote half the record. And it was time consuming, but I just made sure every riff was something that I looked forward to doing. I wanted to make sure every part that I look forward to every part is what I wanted to make sure I did. And I think I accomplished that a little bit. And it was really fun to write. When I showed it to the guys, they were like, man, we're stepping up our game.
Well, yeah, that I guess is the next question. Are fans of Sledgehammer that listen to this going to go, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense that they made this record? Or will they go, whoa, this is a total departure from what they've been doing in the past?
It's like, I would say it's a natural evolution.
Okay.
I'd say it's a natural evolution. It's better than what we've done in the past, but still, it's still got the same consistencies. Yeah, it's definitely not a total departure at all. You know, we like the groove metal, we like thrash metal. We just combine a bunch of stuff and throw it in a bag and call it Sledgehammer.
That's pretty good. I think what you mean is, since you wrote this in your kitchen, you mix it up into a nice bowl, and then the delicious thing that comes from it.
Write the whole record in the kitchen, but a little bit was done in the kitchen.
Nope, it's too late now. The whole thing was done in the kitchen, recording and everything. Well, tell me about, it's been a while since I've checked in with a band from Toronto as to what the scene is like in the city. So what is it like right now in Toronto? What's kind of popular? What's going on in the city?
I think there's a lot of good bands out right now. We just had our CD release in Toronto Friday night at the Coalition. It was a great show. It's a venue that's actually closing, which is unfortunate, but there's lots of other great venues. Opera House, Duffy's, there's a bunch of good stuff around. A lot of tight, talented bands around, a lot of people around, it's fun. It's a very fun scene, it's very energizing, and I don't know, you couldn't ask for anything more, really.
What are some bands that we should be on the lookout here? As neighbors, we always like to be on the lookout for who might be coming up. Who's somebody we should be looking out for?
Well, we had our second CD release show last night. We played with our good friends in Profaner, who is from Hamilton, Toronto. Hamilton, Toronto, basically the same thing. And Lotharo is very good. And we played with Chainfall and APOC and Invicta. Invicta is really good. Band Raider from Kitchener is very good. Yeah, all those listed, you should all check those bands out that I just listed.
All right. Well, you guys, like I said, are going to be playing at Piranha on the 19th. Do you have anything special planned for this show? Anything unique you're going to break out here for Montreal?
Oh, we have everything special planned. We're just going to put on the best show we ever put on in our entire lives for the Montreal fans. That's what we have to do. Be like, we're going to get our singer to speak a little Francaise.
Yeah, all right. That's classic, yes.
But I'm not even going to try to speak French because I took it for like 10 years in French immersion, but I don't want to make an idiot of myself. So I'm not even going to try to say anything. But, yeah, nothing too special planned, but we plan on coming there and just being very entertaining, and hopefully everybody has a good time. We'll break our necks for you, basically.
And get everyone else to break their necks from the intense headbanging that you will elicit from them.
I just did 2 days of it. I feel like I've been hit by a truck today.
I've been bandying the term bangover for the neck pain that comes after a night of headbanging.
Hangover, oh yeah.
So
like
yes.
That. That's a good one. Like that one.
So feel free to use that at your leisure, you know, whenever you want.
I will. I'm stealing it immediately. I know. You know, okay. Not going to be a Toronto term.
We don't have too much time, and I do want to play a track off of the record. But let me just ask you, after this Piranha show, what do you guys in Sledgehammer have planned for kind of the rest of 2019? Do you have like a summer tour you're going to do, a fall one? What are you thinking?
We're going to do a fall East Coast tour.
Okay.
That is our big plan. We have some, some band had day jobs, some medical issues we have to take care of in June and July. We have some stuff that's left over that unfortunately we're not able to tour immediately in June and July, which is what we would have liked to do, but we're definitely doing it in fall, and I think we're going to go to the East Coast, and on our way to the East Coast is Quebec, Montreal. We'll probably do Drummondville, and I'm going to try to get as much Quebec cities in as possible on the way to the East Coast or on the way back.
I like the sound of that. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm already excited for it, and I haven't even booked it yet, but that's definitely happening, so.
All right. Well, let's play something off of Antechamber to get people ready for the 19th. What would you say should I play off of this record to give people good idea?
Well, considering I wrote all of it in my kitchen, you know,
yes.
I can't choose a song. I don't know. Here, I'll go in my kitchen, we'll choose a drawer. All right, here we go. You should play Forsaken Souls.
All right, cool. Sounds good. That was good. I'm glad you keep each one in a different drawer that you can open up and see.
It was a mystery. It was a mystery drawer. So, you know, we just got the Forsaken Souls track. So hopefully everybody likes that one.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling in and chatting with me. I'm sorry it's such a short thing. I usually like to chat longer with a band. But, you know, as things go, that's how it is today.
Hey, it is what it is, you know. Been headbanging for 2 days, super hungover, you know, that's what it is. So thanks a lot for having me on.
Well, no problem. Next time when you come tour through, you should stop by the studio. We can have you guys maybe play an in-studio thing for us.
I would absolutely love that. That would be actually pretty cool. I'll probably contact you after we're done the interview, and we'll set something up. Sounds good.
Oh, I like that. That sounds good. Immediacy is always the best thing for it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anyway, everyone, this has been another edition of Grade A Explosives. I'm guessing the Burnt Offerings is up next. Maybe not. Go to Piranha tonight to go see X-Pain and West of Hell, and then on the 19th to go see Sledgehammer, War Pit when they launch Reborn, For Your Own Good, and Masora. So keep it locked. Thank you for chatting with me, good sir.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me on, and you know, come out to Montreal. I'll say hello to everybody, and we'll have a couple shots. Sounds good.
And here's some Forsaken Souls from Sledgehammer off their new record. Go listen to that. Go enjoy them. Keep it locked. CJLO, 1690 AM.